It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. It's been a decade and a half since The New Yorker published that cartoon with one dog in front of a computer saying to the spotted pooch next to him, "On the internet, nobody knows you're a dog." The anonymity of the internet is not always a cause for laughter. These days, it can seem that anything goes in the comment sections of blogs and newspaper sites. But this spring, the Maryland Court of Appeals set guidance on what goes and what doesn't go. The ruling caught nationwide attention in technology and First Amendment circles. The court ruled in a case brought by businessman Zebulon Brody in the Queen Anne's County Circuit Court. Anonymous commenters using tags like Rocky Raccoon MD and Chat du Soleil had posted remarks implying Mr. Brody had skirted the law and he sued for defamation. The trial court ordered the website's owner, Independent Newspapers, to hand over identifying information about the anonymous commenters. But in Independent Newspapers v. Brody, the Maryland Court of Appeals overruled. In a few minutes, we'll speak with the attorney who represented Zebulon Brody. With us now by phone is Evan Brown, a Chicago lawyer who wrote about the Maryland Court of Appeals decision on Internet Cases, a blog that covers intellectual property and technology. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Good morning.
In Zeb Brody's case, what is being balanced against what?
It's a balance between two very important issues. On the one hand, we have the right of a plaintiff who feels that his reputation has been damaged by content that has been posted on the internet anonymously. So on one side of the equation, there is the right of an aggrieved plaintiff to seek redress. On the other side of the equation is the very important First Amendment right of the speakers to put their ideas out there anonymously. The Supreme Court has held that the right to speak anonymously is an important First Amendment right.
And it seems to me that the Maryland court could have picked from a whole range of standards, from allowing people to say whatever they want on the internet to allowing anyone who feels they've been smeared to sue for the identity of the person who allegedly smeared them. And they look to high court rulings in other states for some of these standards to choose from. Right?
That's right. It looked very closely, paid particular attention to a decision from New Jersey called Dendrite, state court decisions from Delaware, a case called Cahill, and some other decisions from around the country and some of the federal district courts. It's an important analysis. There is a spectrum of standards that courts have applied, and the court did indeed carefully consider and look at how other courts have treated this very important issue.
Is there an easy way to say where the Maryland court came down?
The Maryland court came down in a somewhat moderate fashion, a bit more on the side of protecting the right of anonymity. And the court borrowed heavily in its analysis from that decision in New Jersey called Dendrite. And what the court eventually decided and where it ended up on this was that a plaintiff who is alleging that he or she has been defamed by an anonymous internet speaker has to come to court with enough facts to show that he's got a good case. And, reverting to legalese for just a moment, the court held, among other things, that the plaintiff has to come to court with enough facts to make a prima facie showing that he's got a defamation case. It's a little bit lower standard than what the Supreme Court of Delaware has required in the Cahill case. In that case, the plaintiff is required, in order to unmask an anonymous speaker, to present enough facts, enough evidence, to survive a motion for summary judgment. And what that means is that the plaintiff has to come into court and essentially show that there is no genuine issue of material fact when it comes to the question of whether there has been defamation that occurs. And that's a very high threshold to make before the case really even has a chance to begin. So the standard that the Maryland court is requiring for a defamation plaintiff is a little bit lower than that but it's higher than what other courts have required. For example, the Northern District of California, the federal court out there, just merely required that the allegations are good enough to survive a motion to dismiss.
Evan Brown, writer at the blog Internet Cases and a lawyer who focuses on intellectual property and technology. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. My pleasure.
It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Now we turn to Sean Paltrak of Foster, Braden, Thompson & Palmer in Stevensville. He represents Zebulon Brody and joins us by phone. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
Now, tell us why Mr. Brody brought this case.
Mr. Brody brought this case primarily because he is a longstanding and well-respected businessman, and he was made aware of comments that were made on this Centerville-focused website that really were derogatory in nature. In light of that, he really needed to protect his reputation.
Do you have concerns with the Court of Appeals ruling, the approach they took?
I do have some concerns. I think that the test handed down by the Court of Appeals being the most stringent out there has really made it extremely difficult, if not impossible in many cases, for someone who is legitimately harmed as a result of defamatory speech on the Internet to seek the redress that they otherwise in decades and centuries past would have been able to do. Perhaps more concerning is the time that it will take to ultimately get to a point where they may be entitled to this information. So much time will have passed at that point from a typical litigation schedule in a typical state court that perhaps the damage is already irreversible. And argument has certainly been made by opposing counsel in this case that as quickly as a reputation can be tarnished on the Internet, it can be rehabilitated by the Internet. And I just don't think that that is entirely true in all cases.
You said that Zeb Brody felt he had to file this case to protect his reputation. Has he been able to? Is he able to under this standard?
I think ultimately he will be able to. My understanding is that those who are accused of making the defamatory statements in this case, they were contacted by independent newspapers and made aware of Mr. Brody's suit. And as a result, we haven't seen, certainly from those names, screen names, any more statements. So in a sense, it stopped, and maybe the lawsuit had something to do with that. I'd like to think that it did.
And what would you say to people who would call that a chilling effect?
I would say that you shouldn't make defamatory statements online, and you'll be free to say all kinds of things. But so I don't think it has a chilling effect because we never intended to allow speech of that type to flourish in any medium.
So, do you intend to appeal the Maryland Court of Appeals decision?
I'm discussing that with Mr. Brody now, and we have not made a decision.
And the appeal, if you take it, would be to the U.S. Supreme Court?
It would. It's not an automatic right of appeal. We would have to petition that court and ask it to consider our case for appeal.
And what will be the factors in deciding that?
Primarily, whether Mr. Brody wants to invest the time and money necessary to pursue it is probably a primary factor, if not the only factor.
The Maryland Court of Appeals ruling is binding on courts in Maryland, not elsewhere in the U.S. Do you think this is becoming sort of the national standard?
The Court of Appeals decision was decided on February 27th of this year, and just shy of 2 weeks later, a U.S. district court in deciding a similar issue had relied upon the Maryland Court of Appeals decision in reaching its own. So I think that this Maryland case, unless or until the Supreme Court or some other courts begin to weigh in on it, is going to be the seminal case in many states as they consider how to address this issue when it arises in their own jurisdictions.
Thanks so much for talking to us. Sean Paltrak, a lawyer for Zeb Brody.
Thank you for having me.
More information on our website, wypr.org, including a link to the Maryland Court of Appeals decision and to Evan Brown's blog. Quick break now in Maryland Morning, and then an epidemic still raging, not getting much attention. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us on 88.1.